Welcome to the Besties with Breasties podcast. Sarah Hall here. I am a certified health and wellness coach, athletic trainer, mom, and breast cancer survivor. I help women overcome their own mind drama to make mind shifts that open up the possibility for their most empowered and energetic life.
And I am Beth Wilmus, author, speaker, and founder of a human investment organization, otherwise known as a nonprofit, called Faith Through Fire. Our mission is to reduce the fear and anxiety that breast cancer patients feel and replace it with hope and a path toward thriving.
This podcast is about our experiences with breast cancer
and life after as young survivors and moms.
We're just talking about how we're excited to talk about this. Probably not because it's going to be popular, but no. Because you and I have...
No one is going to want to listen
nobody's
to this.
Nobody's going to listen to this. Everybody.
We should just name this alcohol and then...
Don't hate us.
An unpopular opinion.
Right. Okay, so Gary and I have been talking about this so much because it's so interesting. Now that we're in our 40s... Well, first of all, let's start with the fact that when I was in my 20s, I had a pretty good time in life.
Same.
Okay. So
20s, 18.
Yeah, 18, 17. 18 to 20s. And then I got cancer at 35. And then slowly since then, we've really, Gary and I do not drink a lot in comparison to most people we know.
Right.
It's like special occasions. It's usually a drink, you know, on a date night.
Yeah.
But it's definitely not in excess, really, for the most part. And it's just changed over the years, right? Yeah. Like our priorities have shifted.
Well, I mean, most people as they age, it's like, you're not drinking the Smirnoff Ices anymore. You're drinking the expensive wine.
Well, so that's the thing. It's like for us with age, right, kind of comes a dwindling in that lifestyle.
Yeah.
But we've been talking about it so much lately because so many of the people we know and our friends are showing signs of alcohol dependence. Mm. And it's just really kind of sad and scary because it's like, I mean, for my husband to comment on it and be like, you know, I feel like, you know, we're nearing more 50s than we are, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, what's happening? And I'm like, what's happening is 20 years of this habit is now resulting in a dependency that...
I want you to define dependency because I think in my brain, I'm thinking it's a different issue, but I want to make sure that I align with...
I mean, I think dependency is you don't know how to get done with work without having a beer
or a glass of wine. Okay, yeah. So in my brain, it's like you don't know how to cope with life without alcohol.
I mean, I think there's that too.
Yeah.
So we're going to kind of do a deep dive into what's going on here and why maybe people are depending on alcohol more and more.
Yeah.
We're talking about it in the context of, okay, you've had cancer.
Yeah. What? Is this good for you? Is it not?
Right. Yeah. So today we're going to discuss understanding the impact of alcohol on cancer survivors.
Alcohol and mental health and survivorship.
Yep. And then some practical guidance just to kind of help you if this is an issue that you kind of struggle with.
Yep. But before we do that, let's hear from our first sponsor.
Are you feeling scared, overwhelmed, or lost post-treatment? Do you want to reclaim your life and thrive even better than before breast cancer? Faith Through Fire Survivorship Bootcamp is designed for breast cancer survivors who are committed to living their fullest lives. If you're ready to leap forward, seize personal growth, and redefine your journey, this bootcamp will provide the path. You might benefit from our bootcamp if the excitement of completing treatment has worn off, leaving you feeling unsure about your future. You feel confused by your new post-cancer identity and struggle to accept your quote, new normal. You want to enjoy life again, but feel stuck in a cycle of negative emotions. Or you feel disconnected from yourself, others, or God. Our bootcamp offers a structured roadmap that delves deep into four key areas crucial for post-cancer recovery and thriving. Understanding trauma, cultivating a fighting spirit, managing anxiety and intrusive thoughts, and redefining and reshaping your identity so you can rediscover your joy and purpose in life. You can participate in person in St. Louis or online. To join our waitlist, visit faiththroughfire.org/survivorship-bootcamp.
Let's talk about understanding the impact of alcohol on cancer survivors. So there's just the straight up data that alcohol consumption increases the risk of breast cancer recurrence by like 20-30%, especially in estrogen receptive positive cancers, which is what you and I had.
Right.
Does that surprise you?
No.
No. You've been sober for how many years now?
January 1, this was recorded in 2025. So January 1, 2025 marked 2 years for me.
Okay. And in full disclosure, when Sarah told me she was going to give up alcohol, I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Like, so if you're listening to this and you're like, I would never. Trust me, I understand.
Yeah.
2 years ago, well, I was like, why would you give up something that's so lovely?
I think it's interesting because over the last 2 years, I've watched you sort of grapple with a lot of the same things that led me to want to be like, maybe I can go for a whole year without alcohol. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it was like, I'm only drinking when I'm with people. What's up with that? I'm only drinking when I feel like I just want to fit in. What's up with that? Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, those are the reasons.
I wanted to challenge those things.
What's
about
interesting
myself.
About those two things is like, those are the reasons that I would say, yeah, sure. Indulge whenever you feel like it, because you're only doing it when you're with people and you're sure. only doing it when you're in a social situation and you yeah. want to just kind of feel connected to people. My whole point when we were opening this whole episode is that I'm now seeing friends who can't get off work at home alone who can't get through the evening without a drink.
Yeah.
And they aren't doing it just when they're with friends or out for a special occasion. They're doing it to your point, cope with stress mm-hmm. or to feel better at the yeah. end of a long day. And yeah. I think, so there's two sides of the yeah. same coin, which I think is really interesting.
And I want to make sure, say this from the beginning, I don't want to vilify. I know that there are some people who it's like not an issue. Like they have a glass of wine once or twice a month. Like mm-hmm. that is not what we're talking about here.
No, but I think yeah. it is important as a survivor to, you know, when we talk about reducing your recurrence or disease progression,
mm-hmm. people, know that it's a factor.
Well, people always want to go to a pill or a mm-hmm. treatment. Like, mm-hmm. oh, my doctor gave me this pill or my doctor said, okay, but exercise and reducing your alcohol consumption is way more effective than anything you're going to take. And yeah. so I think that's the point that we need to make. And alcohol weakens the immune system. Mm-hmm. You know?
There's a reason why you feel like real crummy right after you drink a lot.
And your immune system's what you need to be strong to fight yeah. cancer and to make sure that you don't progress.
Yep.
So, you know, it interferes with medications. It reduces the effects of chemotherapy if you're in treatment. I can't imagine. Could you imagine drinking when you're in treatment?
No.
Although I will say, I think one time on a special occasion during chemo, I might have had like a half a glass of wine.
Gosh, I don't even remember. Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, why? Why? Looking back, I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Drinking alcohol also raises the risk of secondary cancers, liver disease, heart issues.
Yeah. When those things are already working hard anyway to process the treatment and well, life.
I mean, the number one cause of death in the U.S. is cardiovascular disease, mm-hmm. cancer, and diabetes. Mm-hmm. So most people are worried about their cancer, but really for women, cardiovascular disease is a much bigger risk factor, mm-hmm. and alcohol makes that worse. So, you know, you're already kind of, you know, once you're in survivorship, you realize you're at a disadvantage and you gotta do all the things.
Here's something I find interesting. Healthcare providers don't always emphasize alcohol's role in recurrence risk. I know at one point, my grandma, who has never had a drop of alcohol in her entire life, was told to have a glass of wine because of the benefits of the resveratrol and I don't
know. Okay. I don't know where this got started.
She obviously put her foot down. She's like, I've gone my whole life without drinking. I don't think I need to start now.
Way to go, grandma. Yeah. I mean, I think that is such a stupid thing as a healthcare provider to tell somebody.
Start drinking.
The amount of resveratrol.
Yeah.
And did I say that right? Resveratrol?
Yeah.
I have a problem with that word. That you get from a glass of wine is not worth the negative side effects of that.
Sure.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That's so crazy to me. But I also think doctors just don't want to always be the bad guy. I've said this yeah. on previous podcasts. When I got diagnosed with cancer, my nurse said, go home, have a glass of wine, and just yeah. be with your husband. And I know she meant well.
I also just don't think that they know. Like, I mean, there's a reason why when you start really? To lose weight on chemo, they tell you to go eat a cheeseburger. It's like, really? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or a milkshake. I mean, I do think have a milkshake. Have a lot of extra calories.
I do think that there is a little bit of, I underestimate how little people understand.
Yeah.
I had a nurse the other day that was promoting those Glade, you know, fragrance.
The air fresheners.
God, everywhere.
Insta-headache.
Well, I'm like, dude, that is just pumping carcinogenic chemicals into your air and you're a nurse.
Yeah.
No.
Wait, why were they promoting that? For what? Oh, it was on a commercial?
No. No, it's just the room was stinky. So they were putting
something's
it.
Making you fart a lot and the room is stinky. Like there are tons of other things you could do. You could simmer pot some citrus, or you could get a diffuser.
I know. Well, I'm just, it goes to the point that you think, you know, you think they're going to know. Not necessarily. Here's something to think about is alcohol's relation to mental health. Mm-hmm. Because this is where it goes back to, why do people, including survivors, have such a hard time giving up alcohol? This is like fascinating to me. Did you know that alcohol consumption is rising among women in the U.S.? It always used to be that men drank exponentially more than women.
Okay.
Which in my prior experience as a young person that enjoyed herself, I could see how that was true. Women metabolize alcohol less efficiently, which increases their risk of liver disease, heart disease, and cancer.
Unless you drink often, and I feel like your efficiency goes up.
Yeah, that's true. It's like anything else. True, you become an expert, right? Yeah. You become a true expert. I could have said I was an expert at one point in my life.
Same.
It's also linked to higher alcohol use among women with mental health issues like depression. So, you know, you feel depressed and you think, oh, I'll drink to alleviate some of that feeling, but you're actually making yourself worse. So alcohol increases anxiety and depression. So if you're already struggling emotionally, and a lot of survivors are in the aftermath of breast cancer, drinking to compensate or to cope with that is literally making you worse.
Yeah, it's not gonna fix the anxious thoughts.
No,
and it will relieve it probably in the moment
for a moment.
Yeah,
until you feel terrible the next day and you're more anxious than before.
Yeah,
long term drinking rewires the brain, so it makes it harder to quit over time, which is when alcohol dependency and alcoholism.
So funny, I think didn't we talk about this with sugar?
Yes. Well, isn't there a lot of sugar in alcohol?
So
not only are you getting alcohol, but you're getting all the sugar addiction on top of it. It disrupts deep sleep. How many women do we talk to that can't sleep?
Yeah.
Or that has brain fog and fatigue, which alcohol disrupts all of that.
Yeah.
So we just talked about too, what is it called?
Wine mom culture, mom wine culture.
We talked about it like for a second in a previous a previous podcast, but it is kind of scary how they normalize excessive drinking now on social media.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I had a hard day. Like, where are we going to drink our wine? Or, you know,
or
my kids are driving me crazy.
Right.
Yes. Like, whose garage are we going to go binge drink in?
Yeah.
It's kind of scary that they're kind of glamorizing it and making it a thing.
Yeah. Well, the wine companies love it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're, you know.
They're right on top of it. It's a marketing opportunity.
It is. It is. All right. So before we kind of talk about how to overcome these challenges, you want to do Boobs in the News?
Let's do it.
All right. Boobs in the News is a fun segment where we read funny tweets by real people or ridiculous news stories.
Boobs in the News. Boobs in the News. Boobs in the News.
You ready?
Yes.
This is so stupid. I can't even, like, I don't even know why I'm giving this airtime. Pokemon shaped Cheeto sells at auction for,
oh my god, I don't even want to know.
Guess how much?
$5,000. A lot more?
I'll keep going.
Stop.
Yeah.
A Pokemon, like, which Pokemon?
I don't know, because when I'm looking at it, I guess I'm not familiar enough with my Pokemon characters to know which one it is. But it sold at auction.
Is it an ultra rare?
Apparently, for $87,840.
Why? Who has this kind of money? This is how money laundering happens.
It says a Cheeto shaped like a character from Pokemon has sold at auction for $87,000. The New Jersey-based Golden Auction House listed the snack as sold on Sunday. Presented is a 3-inch long flaming hot Cheeto in the shape of a Pokemon Charizard.
I don't even know what those are. But...
affixed to a customized Pokemon card and encapsulated in a clear card storage box.
Maybe it's a rare. Let me see it.
Hold on. It was initially discovered and preserved sometime between 2018 and 2022.
So it's also old.
By First and Gold Collectibles. The Cheeto surged in popularity on social media platforms in late 2024. There were 60 bids on the uniquely shaped snack dubbed Cheetozard. I cannot even. Who are these people?
Do you know the things that are going viral make me sick to my stomach?
The winning bid was for $72,000 plus a buyer's premium. Okay, so I'm going to show you the picture. But it says that one of the guys that was part of this said, part of what makes this item so fun and unique is that it bridges two fandoms, Pokemon and Cheetos. That's true. For all those people who are obsessed with Cheetos and Pokemon, this is like a dream come true.
There's enough people to make it a $47 or whatever $1,000 item.
Here's how stupid this is. Look at how dumb this is. I would never have pieced this together.
No.
No. Do you get Pokemon from that?
Is it like a dragon with wing?
I don't know. Here, oh. Ken. Ken's our sound guy. Look at that. Do you see anything that resembles Pokemon? Ken's too nice. Ken's too nice. While I will rip people for this, Ken's just like, oh, you know, I mean, like, you know, to each their own.
Maybe it's $50,000.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little overpriced.
Ken's saying 50 grand, maybe. Yeah. So I don't even know. Do you know when Pokemon was conceived? Do you know when that started, that whole thing?
No.
It's way earlier.
Pokemon has been around for a long time, but it gained popularity again.
You're exactly right. So it was originally created by a Japanese video game creator in 1989.
Dang. Well, remember when that Pokemon Go came out and all the kids were outside with their phones and like...
running into walls.
Yes. And I remember very vividly driving down Main Street in St. Charles and there was just children everywhere, just head down to their phone like... doing one of these, mm-hmm. like they're panning for gold, but with their phone.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I also think it's really interesting how something can be, you can build something or create something and it can take like 20 years for it to catch fire.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks it's an overnight success.
I know.
But in life, most of the time, these things have been around for 10, 20 years. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, it's boom. Like, yeah, boom. Yeah.
All of a sudden, it's a Cheeto worth thousands of
I don't even know who the boob is in the story.
Everybody who bid on this,
the auctioneer for giving credence to this as art.
I mean, the auctioneer just saw an opportunity. No, go him. Way to go.
All right. We're going to.
He's not a boob. He's a smart fella.
An ingenuity.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. There's your bibs.
Bibs in the news. Bibs in the news. Bibs in the news.
So what do you think the answer is to this? Like, what do we want our peoples to know? Because you know that, like, I mean, and here's the thing. I still will have an occasional drink. Mm-hmm. I haven't completely cut it out yet. Do I see a day where I will? Yeah, I think I'm kind of to your point. I think I'm heading toward that.
Yeah, you're becoming aware. I mean, of course, I'm always going to say that my journey was the best journey. But like, I think that just raising awareness about why you're choosing to have a drink. And if it's because you... enjoy hanging out with your mom and your sister and that's what you do together. Like, that is one thing. But choosing to have a drink because you're in the mindset of my day was rough, that is where it's just like, could I choose some, like, a better, quote, coping mechanism for today?
Yeah, I agree. You know? I think so many people are making this choice based on mental health issues versus like a true desire to just enjoy and celebrate.
I think that we're so disconnected from who we are and the choices that we make because we're influenced by some, like, quote, mom culture, or just the fact that everybody online sort of celebrates using it as a coping mechanism because, quote, everyone is doing it. But I don't know. In my brain, I always think that there's nothing I ever want to be so dependent on that I couldn't just take it away.
Yeah, well, that's how I feel. I don't even know. Did we do another episode on alcohol? Because I remember, like, in one of our boot camps, our survivorship boot camps, we had a participant recently, because I know we talked about mom wine culture for like a brief second. I thought it was just kind of like we nodded to it in a previous episode. But it was interesting when we were talking about at the boot camp, we spent a lot of time deep diving into our thoughts and feelings on things and how we kind of come at the world. And one of our participants, like, brought up the fact that we spoke about mom wine culture. And she's like, when I heard that, she goes, I recognize myself. And she goes, and now I'm really having to consider why am I doing this? Yeah. And what is it serving me? And, you know, what are my feelings about this? And I told her, I'm like, that's all it is just
being aware,
noticing, and then asking yourself the questions so you can make an informed decision.
Yeah.
Right?
And if at the end of it, you're like, I'm aware that I choose this, but that's okay. Like, then that's okay. That's on you. But I think our point here is that we want to educate that there are things that you can do to help reduce your recurrence rates and to feel better in general and to help with your brain fog and your depression and anxiety.
And your sleep.
And alcohol definitely is one of those things that touches all those things. So when you become aware of your habits, just, you know.
It's rare that I see somebody as they advance in age that drinking becomes easier. Do you know what I mean? Like, when you're younger, you can bounce back real quick. Maybe you wake up with a slight headache and it's gone within, half hour. Not the case for me anymore.
Yeah.
So, for example, the last time my husband and I had a date night, it was a rough week. We just had a rough week. And so this goes back to the point that I still do this. Mm-hmm. We were like, oh, let's, you know, let's have a glass of wine. And it was, I enjoyed it in the moment. And then the next day I had a raging headache, which was ridiculous.
And then you just gave up a whole day of your life.
My husband's like, I mean, you didn't even have that much. And I said, I know, you know, and the next day I had regret because again, it affected that whole day for me.
Yeah.
So, you know,
and after cancer, you learn life is too short to give up days.
Yeah. That's so
if
true.
You want to give up days to do something fun, I mean,
productive,
memory creation.
I mean, I suppose the argument could be made, you know, that we enjoyed our date night, you know, a lot. And I did. But it's just about, again, that awareness piece. I also just want people to think about healthier coping strategies. You know, we're constantly pushing exercise and meditation and therapy and supportive friends, which let's talk about that, because everybody does this, but it's like you are what you eat. It's like it's you become who you're around.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking about reducing your alcohol intake, it's probably going to be tied with a lot of who you spend your time with.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you tend to kind of drink in groups.
Yeah. And I found it interesting when I stopped drinking, some of the people that I was around, I didn't necessarily enjoy being around them when we were drinking.
When you were drinking or weren't drinking?
Weren't. When we were drinking, because you start to sort of see, like, when you do your own thought work, like, oh, I drink because it's like I use it as a coping mechanism, or I'm drinking to fit in. When you stop drinking and you continue to hang around those people who are still doing, you start seeing the things within them of the reasons why they're drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, now I kind of feel bad for you because I don't know how to have a conversation with you about the thought pattern I went through, and not in a means to help you, but it's just like, I can see that you're drinking because you're trying to cope with all the things that you're bringing up while you're drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do think when you're sober and somebody else is drunk, it's pretty fascinating.
It is very fascinating.
Slash entertaining.
When
I stop,
I always will be the sober driver because I find it to be funny. Although I'm like, I'm sober driver, but the cutoff time is 11 o'clock.
Yeah. when I'm sober and everybody else is really drunk, it really is. It's funny at first, then it becomes annoying, and then it becomes insightful.
Yeah.
Right? So to your point, it's hilarious when everybody's tipsy. It's annoying when everybody's really drunk. And then it's like you get to the point where you're like, I feel bad for you because, there's more going on underneath this.
And I wouldn't say that that's for everybody. I do think that I know exactly who I would name in this point if I was calling out certain friends. There are certain friends that when they've had a few drinks, I just genuinely enjoy being around them because they are so fun. They're so funny. And, you know, obviously I want no alcohol for everybody, but you get to make your own choice. I don't really care what you do, but it some people, you know, you can very easily see, well, like, oh, I can see you're drinking to cover up some trauma.
Yeah, there's that. But to your point, like, I have those friends where they just are so reserved normally. So when they have some drinks, you get to see a side of them that you normally don't see. And that is pretty fun.
You pull your list of questions out of your back pocket that you'd never be able to ask when they're sober.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Like, that's when the mask drops and you can actually make a connection because they're not so guarded.
Yeah.
That is kind of fun. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I think, too, like, if this kind of resonates with you, you kind of feel that pang of guilt, which we don't want you to feel guilty.
No.
Don't think it has to be an all or nothing thing. Just gradually try to reduce your alcohol intake rather than quitting cold turkey, and it makes it easier. And then you can kind of start observing if you feel better, if you like it, if you don't like it.
And I will say, leading up to my January where I was like, I'm not going to drink for a year, I had taken stock of how many times I had drank over the last year, and it was only like two or three times. So
you're different.
But what I'm saying, like, it took me years to get there. Like, before that, I would say I drank like a glass of wine every other week or something. So, like, it took me years to get to the place where I was like, I think I could probably go a whole year without alcohol. So
I was different. When I started like thinking about like, do I want to reduce my alcohol consumption? I was underestimating how often it was presented to me.
Yes.
Until I started paying attention. Yeah. So it's like, you know, all of a sudden it was offered here and then it was offered there. And then, and it might only be one drink. You know, that's what I would tell myself. Like, well, I'm only having a drink in this situation. It wasn't like I was having, you know, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah.
But when I started paying attention how often it was a part of what was offered to me, I was astounded. It's kind of like calories, right? Like, you think you know how many calories you're eating.
Until you start writing them down, and then
you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same freaking thing. So at the very least, I would encourage everybody to just pay attention to how often you're offered a drink.
Yeah.
And if you would have said yes in the past, just keep a tally. I think you'll be surprised.
Right next to that tally, write down how much you would have spent
Oh, yeah.
Because
there you go.
That is also the drinks out, if you go have dinner with friends or whatever, they are sometimes more cost more than your meal.
Oh no. So, every time Gary and I have gone out, I don't like, so when I was younger, I drank a lot of beer. Uh-huh. Now that I'm older, it makes like me full and I don't feel good. I like the martini. Yeah. I like a stiff drink and then I like to go home. But, you know, even if you have like two of those, I mean, it gets pricey.
It is very pricey.
That's why Gary and I are prone to doing apps and then drinks, because you can have some food, but most of your bill is your alcohol.
Yeah.
And just find like-minded people, right? Like that's the thing, is that it can be really hard when your whole friend group is excessively drinking. So if this is a change that you're considering or you want to make, there are people out there that can get together and do things that don't circle around drinking.
Yeah.
And I think that was an eye-opener for Gary and I too. It's like, okay, well, do we ever see these people if we're not binge drinking? Mm-hmm. You know, when do we ever get together and do something that doesn't revolve around alcohol? And if you really can't point to anything, you know,
ask one of those people that you hang out with just to go for a hike.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, no. Okay.
Right. Well, right.
Maybe our values are not aligned anymore.
Right. Well, and I mean, it is hard. I mean, it's hard when you go through these transitions, and cancer is a big transition. So what you cared about and what you wanted to spend your time doing is probably different in the aftermath.
I will say also, if you are thinking about cutting back on alcohol but not ready to fully give it up, there are like really great now on the market. There's really great alcohol substitutes. So they have like some cool mushroom drinks that are out there now. Not like psilocybin drinks, but like I had one the other day and it was
adaptive mushrooms.
Adaptive mushrooms, or like they have sparkling things that are, I had a Paloma in this little can. It was so cute. It was it was called Free AF.
Okay.
So,
and that's non-alcoholic.
It's non-alcoholic, and it was a Paloma, but I go, if I poured this over ice and then like did something fancy on the rim of my glass, you could not have told me that this wasn't alcohol.
Well, and most restaurants have mocktails, and nobody's paying attention when you order. Just order a mocktail, nobody's going
to
know.
And it's like when gluten-free started to become a thing, nobody had gluten-free menus. And now most places you go, you can be like, I need the gluten-free menu, and like you're going to get one. Mm-hmm. I think that this is becoming more of a thing. Because a lot of places used to never have here as the non-alcoholic options. And now inevitably, there's some really cool mocktails. And
I was
going
to say,
and
it used to just be like an NA beer. And now it's like there's such a demand because people are really kind of seeing the forest through the trees about their health with lots of things. And now it's like, no, you got to get fancy.
Yeah. There's actually some really good NA beers. I think Athletic is a brand.
Okay.
It's like pretty good, or at least that's what I've been told.
The other thing, and we've talked about this I think in a previous episode, is that we're both prone to taking kombucha over ice because it's
delicious.
I do feel like, well, and I also get a buzz off of it even though it's like fermented tea.
The first time she had kombucha, she's like, I'm feeling a little jittery. Like, is there alcohol in this? I'm like, a very tiny amount.
Yeah. But I mean, I'll just bring kombucha like to, you know, someplace and put it over ice. And I still feel like I'm partaking. So there's things you can do. Little mind tricks, Jedi mind tricks. Anyway.
Call Obi-Wan over.
Right. Before we close out, let's hear from our second sponsor.
Thrive-In is a proud sponsor of Faith Through Fire. Thrive-In believes money is a tool and not a goal. The Gateway Financial Group with Thrive-In is local to the St. Louis area and can work with you to create a financial strategy that reflects your priorities and helps you protect the things that matter to you, like family and giving back. Please call 314-783-4214 to schedule a free consultation with one of Thrive-In's Gateway Financial Advisors.
All right, we're back. What do we want to leave people with?
Shame! Shame! No shame. There's no shame. I think there's no shame in the like awareness game. As soon as you're just, I want to think more about this. When you become aware of something, it's like mindfully brushing your teeth or mindfully doing anything. Just notice why and what brings it up and like why you want to drink and who you're around. And then just see what goes from there. Just become aware.
All right, guys. Until next time.
See ya.
Thank you for being a listener of the Besties with Breasties podcast. If this podcast had a positive impact on your journey, leave us a review or consider becoming a supporter. You can donate with the link in the show notes or at faiththroughfire.org. This episode was hosted by Sarah Hall and Beth Wilmes, audio and production edits by Innovative Frequencies.